Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Sound guy, let's give him a solid two-parter. What do you think? All right. Week 21 of 50. Not ready. This session plus scoreboard check, part one. It's Saturday, May 22nd, and it's 9:30 p.m. And I just got called in the bar at Ocean's 11 for a 2-5 game downstairs. So I grabbed my beer, I went and took a piss, and I headed down. Maskless. I forgot that I was in California, and I forgot that was the rule. I'd just been in Vegas, and in Vegas, masks are off. My trip prior to this, I didn't wear one the whole time. And I'm gonna, you know, without being too political, it was nice. Yeah. And I'm just kind of like that. I think probably most writers are observers, thinkers, and you just kind of are oblivious to the trivial shit, right? Like, yeah, everyone around you is wearing a mask and you're not, but you're thinking about some other shit, right? I don't know, but I was quickly reminded to put one on, and I had one in my pocket, so I did. And I sat down in my seat at this 2-5 No Limit Hold'em game, right? And at a table close by, this guy who's probably late 50s, maybe early 60s, he either lost his son many years ago, or his son became paralyzed in a high school football accident. He's standing up a few tables away, and he is unraveling, and I don't fucking blame him. He's being the guy in the casino that's irrational and loud and angry, and I honestly don't blame him at all. And he was in the bar when I was in there prior, you know, waiting for my seat, and he was being weird in there, talking loud and all that. And he and his wife are longtime Ocean's 11 regs, and I just can't. I mean, I can start to imagine, but I can't really imagine that sorrow, right, of something horrible happening to your child. That would take the ultimate CBT. You would have to go to level 9 to fucking think your way through that and go on, right? And it would take lots of therapy and probably lots of, you know, medication or self-medication. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure when I see this guy standing up and losing his shit, unraveling, obviously it makes me sad, and it brings me back. It brings me back to whenever that accident happened with their son. They both played. This was when I think probably maybe 2007 or 2008 when I played every day. It was my day job, poker rags, not poker rags. What the fuck I'm saying? Poker. Yeah, and so sometimes while waiting for the 10-10 game, I would play in their game. Or sometimes the husband would play in the 10-10 game. And so I did play with both the mother and the father occasionally, right? And I believe this is when I learned that you won't always play hard against everyone. I think if you are a poker fan and you read all the books, or maybe that's not what people do these days, but when I was coming up, we read all the books. In all the books, people said, I'll check raise my grandma or whatever, right? And that's, you play hard against everyone. And you'll hear people say that, right? And then if you're in the game for a long time, you learn that that's not true. And I don't know exactly what year this was, but I think this is when I learned that's not true, because I was in some red chip game waiting for a bigger game, and I stacked the father, and it felt so fucking gross, right? It was right after this, and I don't know. I played with them, both of them, the father and the mother, several times after that, and I never went for it in any hand against them. So I don't know. This is just a flashback, right? And I've played soft against so many other people since then, and it's not collusion. And if you want to be a fucking, you know, whatever. If you want to be an asshole, you can call it collusion. But I don't play. I play harder against, you know, people who are bad for the game than people who are good for the game. And then people I care about. I don't do things in multi-way pots, but, you know, in heads-up pots, I'll just fold or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. But this is bringing me back. And it's, you know, it's a Saturday night, and I'm at Ocean's 11, and I'm older now, and I'm trying to make a comeback, and it's just sad. And I don't know. Let me take a sip of this coffee, though, and let's get into the session. So I brought $1,500 with me. Even though I've been winning a lot of sessions, I've not been winning a lot of dollars, and I'm still, you know, I am on a stake, and my stake roll was low to start the year, and then it got back to even-ish, and then I went on a pretty gross downswing, just ran horrible, and almost busted it, and I've run it back up to positive, and I'm committed to earning for my backer, and as stupid as it may sound, I was always more worried about winning for him or her than I was for me. And so, you know, just taking $1,500 with you is just it's a good idea, right? Not to bring too much. You know you're not locked in. You've been doing stuff all day. You've been working. You've been parenting. That's why this week is called Not Ready. I'm not ready to play against the best players again, which I did very well my first rise. And liked my side a lot. And then I had to rededicate myself. And then I had a second rise. And again, really liked my side. Found myself sitting at the table by myself a lot, you know, which is kind of pretty telling in the poker world. And it's been years since that. That was, you know, I guess 2012 was my comeback. In 2013, I just really punished everybody heads up. And since then, I haven't really cared about poker. I've been too burned out on it. I've been dealing with too much personal stuff, personal growth that started with plummeting down to rock bottom and all that I've talked about a lot in this podcast. And well, now I finally have the bug all these years later to know I do want to play in the toughest games and No Limit, Live No Limit. I'm built for it. I got the experience for it. And I just have to work through some things, and I can do it again. And I really I'll like my side again, but I'm not ready yet. I'm too busy. And yeah, so when you're too busy, you just go to a soft game, you bring $1,500, and you know, you're going to play, your reads are going to be pretty good, but you know, you're not ready to play against, the best players yet. And that's just the story. And they're calling 5-10 on this night, which they don't usually get 5-10 at Ocean's 11. And I'm thinking this is a missed opportunity. Well, the game doesn't start. And I promised you I was going to take a sip of coffee and get into the session. And I will in just a second. The last thing I should tell you is that while I was in the bar waiting to get called for this seat, I was playing on my phone. I was playing Big O on my phone in DGAF home games. And that's, you know, also known as the imbecile farm. And I lost about $100 in a really small Big O game where I just wanted to gamble and other people were playing kind of correctly. And it wasn't smart to do this. I need to, part of me not being ready to climb the stakes is, even though I'm winning very consistently these stakes, is I'm not coming into sessions mentally prepared, right? And that one time I wrote before I started playing was bad. That just gets you in an abstract state of mind, and it drains you, right? Well, I decided I'm not going to write in the bar while I'm waiting for a seat anymore. And I should just, like, I don't know, but playing Big O before you play No Limit and punting it off, it's not smart, but it's what I did. Okay, Now, as promised, we'll actually talk about some hands. So I come in the cutoff and I fold. And that's cool. And I fold the next hand and the next hand and the next hand. And I'm working on a knit lap, which is you come in the best possible spot, the cutoff, and you fold all the way to your next cutoff, right? And then you know you're a fucking champion. And my big blind, I have queen 10. It's a little bit dicey, right? Because if someone opens, probably going to have to play this one. Well, luckily it got 3-bet and I folded. Okay. And now I just need to get through the button. The small blind is the easiest hand to fold, right? The easiest spot to fold in. And I did. And now I just got to get through the button. But the dealer fucks me and deals me ace king. Okay. So I'm not going to be folding this hand. I don't think under any circumstances, unless maybe it went open, 3-bet, 4-bet, all but whatever. So, well, what happens is the cutoff, which is on my direct right, opens to $20. This hand's 2-5. Many hands will be 2-5-10. And this person opens to $20, and I go to 60. I don't know anything about the person on my right, and nor the person on my left. And the person on my left seems like one of those former athletes, just built, and, you know, seems like a nice guy. And he calls cold from the small blind. And okay, and the opener in the cutoff called two. So we got 180 in there. I have ace-king on the button. The flop comes 9-8-7. Okay, they check to me, and I rarely check back flops these days. I like to bet something small almost always. Well, this is one of those flops where I'm going to check back. You know, I'm just going to check back. Even if I had an overpair, I would check back. So this is kind of a balanced spot for me. I think I would check back. But anyways, I check. Okay, the turn's a queen. I have ace king. I 3-bet. I got a cold caller, and the opener called. It came 9-8-7. We all checked. Turn queen. We all check again. The river's an ace. They checked to me. I bet small, and they both fold. And this is a very telling hand. It's a. I talk about not being ready for tough games. This isn't how tough games go. The small blind's not flatting any 3-bets. The small blind is 4-betting or folding. And if they are flatting, they're betting that turn, right? And you're just never winning this hand. And it's just very interesting. And if the action is like this and you bet the river small, someone's going to think about raising you and someone may have trapped you. Anyways, it's just very telling that, these games that where people sit with $1,000 or so and the rake is high, they're just very, very soft. In California, right? But they're less soft in Vegas, but I don't know. Pretty telling. And I guess I'm focused on playing bigger these days. And I'm just thinking, this is amazing. Like, I would never win this hand in a bigger game, right? Because, well, maybe I would if the small blind 4-bet and I 5-bet, but just 9-8-7 and we all check and the turn queen, I don't think I'm ever winning this. I don't know. It's nice that I did, though. Let me take another sip of coffee because I need caffeine. It's time for my best play. So lately, I've been motivated to win more than I was. For some reason, I wasn't even motivated to win sessions. And I had a podcast called Sessions. I don't know. And obviously, I've been running much, much better. I've been flopping sets, I've been making hands, I've been completing draws, I've been fading some draws, I've been holding as big favorite, the stuff you need to do to go on winning streaks. And I've been doing that, and as a result, because I'm a human being, I've been playing better. And in these games, even though I am tired and coming from parenting and working on my podcast and my community and my company and all that, I like my side. In these games, and they seem pretty easy. Well, here's what happens. So there's a poker lover in our game, and this is a younger woman, and she's wearing all this cool poker stuff, like, I don't know, like run it up or run it once or run it something, right? Like just run it. Something cool, poker jacket, and then a cool poker shirt, except none of her stuff was poker rags. So she just doesn't know yet, but that's not her fault, right? And she's just kind of decked out in poker stuff, and she's in there, and she's, she's misapplying some things, but she's trying, and she's very, you can tell she's getting a lot out of the experience. And this is the way you should play poker. This podcast that you're listening to is not how you should. You shouldn't make it your career, your life. And no, you should do it how this person does. You should love it and go and have fun and you know, think, did I play good? Did I play bad? Whatever, and not really know. Anyways, she's the poker lover. And she opens, so there's a straddle on, 2-5-10. She opens first to act to 25, okay? And now someone on her left calls, and I go to 105. Why do I go to 105? Because I have a mask on and it's loud. And if I know if I throw a $100 chip out there and I say raise, someone might not hear me. So I just put a five, make it 105. Then it's clear that it's 105. You don't have to say anything. I don't have to scream. No problems, right? Well, now the pro, the like hotshot pro in the game, there's always going to be a foreign, one foreign or maybe two foreign pros in these games, right? Because it is very soft, right? And he goes to 340, and right, and I just see this like out of my peripheral. I'm not staring at him, and he's out of position. He's in the blinds. He goes to 340, and just everything tells me that he has ace king when he does this. And people could think whatever they want about that, right? That used to be like a meme, like I put him on ace king. When this guy does this, I put him on ace king. There's just something about the timing, the movements, everything, that it's exactly ace king. And so we're flipping, right? I have jacks. And so he cold four bet and it cleared out. They folded and I'm going to flat. And if a flop doesn't come with an ace or a king, I'm going to happily get the rest of the money in. Right. So I'm going to reduce variance. If I didn't know, if I didn't have this read, I might, it would be tough. I might have to consider folding. I would consider jamming and just all plays that just aren't nearly as calculated as, oh, I have jacks, you have ace king, and you're going to be aggro post flop. And let's see a flop. And so I just call the 340, and maybe I have a pot-sized bet behind. And flop comes queen, queen, nine. And he looks at the dealer and says, I'm all in. And I fucking Phil Hellmuth call, just cram my chips in there. And so it's queen, queen, nine, and then the board ran out XX. And unfortunately, he had ace king. Unfortunately for him, I was right. And so why is this my best play? It's not that great to just flat and hopefully not, you know, not have him flop a pair. But, I mean, it's better than just getting it in pre. It's just so much better, right? I'm free-rolling him on that equity of, if we get it in pre, it's almost a flip. But the way we're playing it now, he's going to get the money in on pretty much any flop, or he is, right? The way I've played my hand. And the only way it goes in is if he is in a lot of trouble, right? And the only way I call. So it's just good. If you've been around forever and you got these reads, you got to go with them, right? And who cares what people think about reads? The people that think reads aren't important are the people that can't read people. Yeah. So that's why it's my best play, I think. I don't know. Just go with it. Like, okay, I know exactly what you have, and all right, let's just see a flop, because we're not deep where like he could check and fold flops. No, it's going in on the flop. His money's going in and mine's going in if I'm way ahead of him. And if I'm behind, I'm folding. Yeah, so that was nice. And now I'm winning. And I've started a lot of sessions like this lately where I'm winning pretty decent. And then I kind of bleed it off, or it just goes away the rest of the night, and we'll have to see if that's what happens. So now I straddle. We got the straddle on, and the poker lover opens to 30 on the button, right? And she's just a really nice presence. She's got all this gear on. She should buy poker rags. And, you know, she will. When she gets better at poker, she'll get poker rag stuff. But, you know, she's got to run it. We're just fucking run it, and then like some, like, I don't know what the poker shirt was, but it's great. She opens the 30 on the button, right? It seems weak to me. It seems forceful. It's 2-5-10. She opens the 30 on the button. She has about $300. And the person who calls in the blinds between us has about $300 also. So what is that when we're playing 2-5-10? That's 30 big blinds. And I have A7 offsuit, and I look at them both, and I go all in. And it's just, I have a read that she's weak, and the other person's obviously pretty weak. Didn't even think about 3-betting. And, it's just give me that money. And they both fold. And now I tell them that I've been drinking, because I have. I went to a Korean barbecue before this with a patron named Chili Dog. And neither of us are scared of some height or some, I think that's what we're drinking on this night, some height. It's a good beer. And then, as mentioned, waiting for this session in the bar, punting it off on DGAF home games on the Big O. I was enjoying a beverage or two, probably a Jameson and Diet. My after dinner drink. And now I tell them, after I go all in, that I've been drinking. I don't show my hand, but I tell them, I don't know, sometimes I just do this. And now I miss twice in a row. It would have been great to hit after this, because now everyone's ready to, give me all their money. Okay. Now, I open pocket eights, and it's five-way action. So, this is just something that's different than playing higher. I don't know if there's many five-way pots, but, eights in a five-way bloater, and it's 2-5-10, and so I open to 30, and we got 150 out there. And Cinny, come tell the people what compares to me. Oh, thank you. That's nice. I think pretty highly of you, too. Okay, so I didn't flop a set. I'm so unlucky. I didn't flop a set in a five-way pot with eights. My God, I run the worst. No, but that's the hand history, okay? And now I'm not in a hand, and I just, the Italian pro checks multi-way in position and then raises the turn, and I know he turned a gut shot. I will bet my life on it. And it goes to showdown, and guess what? He turned a gut shot. So you don't want to be playing against pros. I mean, you'd much prefer to play against poker lovers and just wrecks, right, that are actually harder to read than pros. But pros are going to be doing better things. But it's nice when you just know what they have all the time, right? And, And then I made top pair, and I won $100 from someone, and I put Mad Scientist Max Value. So they didn't have anything, and I just got three small streets from them and just top pair, and that's good. And now this, my sound guy, so if you notice, the sound in this drop is much better. My sound guy, his name is Silent Sound Guy. I don't think you've ever heard him talk, but he's here with me, and I found out he's been drinking on the job. That's why the last few drops, it was so loud, right? And it's just, he's been drinking on the job. And so we had a talk, we had a meeting, and he's committed to showing up to work sober. And so I think you probably noticed the sound's much better in this one. Well, he's a poker player as well, and he loses with pocket kings all the time, and I don't know why. He's more of that at that poker lover stage, if you know what I mean. But this hand's for you, sound guy. The poker lover, the young woman wearing run it to the moon, run it to the sun, run it one time. Run it once or run it twice? I don't know. And then she's got some cool shirt, like all in, bitch, something like that. I don't know. Anyways, she goes to 20, and this is just a 2-5 hand, right? And now this passive recreational player goes to 80. And this is, this isn't like a 2021 three bet, right? This is, oh shit, this guy has a really good hand, right? Well, I am in position and I have pocket kings. So I'm going to clear out everyone else. Obviously, I'm going to put in a 4-bet. And you know what I'm going to do if this guy shoves? I'm going to fold. I'm going to. Because this is the passive rec, conservative rec. I've profiled him since I sat down, and I just know this about him, right? And so I go to 170. It's a small sizing. It allows me to fold I called 4-bet, and if he 5-bets all in, I'm folding pocket kings. And I'm not kidding. I already know that, right? And this is when I'm in mad scientist mode. I just know exactly what I'm doing. I know what I'm going to do. Whatever people react to what I do, I already know what I'm going to do to that, and so on. And so I take a smaller sizing here, clear out the riffraff, and if he calls, he's dead. And if he goes all in, I fold, right? And if he calls, he almost certainly has pocket queens, because he just seemed very, very strong when he 3-bet the poker lover. And he calls, and so I know he has pocket queens, and I have kings, and that's going to be problematic for him. I'm not going to take egregious sizings because he isn't the type. He's very conservative, but I'm going to definitely get a lot of chips from him, right? Well, the flop comes queen, deuce, deuce. He checks. I check. I know you have queens. I have kings in position. We got $360 out there. And he checks. I check. I know you just flopped the full house. The turn's an ace, and he leads a third of the pot, and I just fold, and we go to the next hand. And I just know he had queens, and it's, I suck at them too, sound guy. But I do appreciate you showing up for work, sober. What was going on? What were you drinking? Everclear? I didn't even know that shit was still around. All right. Well, I'm glad you're back, man. And I'm with you on, I can't win with kings, but I'll give a spoiler. I'm going to get pocket kings again very soon. Let's see if I can rectify that situation. Okay. And now the next note is the Italian pro. So I said foreign pro. I was pretty sure it's Italian pro. The guy that doubled me up, he's commiserating with another pro. And so this is what you do when you're young in the game. You travel around with a buddy and you guys get in different games. And you talk about how you're doing. These guys might be sharing a bankroll. Who knows, right? And he's probably like, I doubled this fucking guy up. He had jacks, I had ace king, fucking flip, man. That kind of shit. And but they're commiserating. Yeah, just so standing up and talking away from the table and looking at the table. And now it's time for some revenge on the passive rec. He opens to $20 in late position. He just won a nice pot with, I'm almost positive, queens full against kings, right? And I'm the small blind, and so it folds to me in the small blind. And the guy on my left is a former athlete of some sort, just big dude and cool. I already know he's folding just by the way his hands are and whatever. So I'm going to go ahead and 3-bet a bad hand, 7-6 offsuit. I 3-bet to 120. I need revenge, right? And big blind folds, and this guy calls 100 more. And I'm pretty sure he has a pocket pair. Just have a very good read on him. And it comes king 9-3. That's good because the only... I guess he could have pocket threes, but pocket nines is the hand I'm worried about. Anyways, I'm just going to bet 130, and he's going to fold, unless he flopped a set, and he didn't. He folded, and I showed my hand, because I said I was mad about the previous hand. And now he goes on tilt. You got to know when that switch is flipped, right? Very conservative, very passive. Well, now, but also prideful, probably, right? Like, he probably does well in life and doesn't want some idiot showing 7-6 offsuit. And that's okay. And welcome to the fucking O, right? Like, this is what you get. Dragon Man's on his third rise. You're going to get this shit for a while until I climb the stakes. And so now he opens to 25. So the sizing's different. Everything's different, right? And I'm on the button with 10-8 offsuit. And I call because this guy's primed, right? He's primed. And it's just us, and the flop comes 5-5-5, okay? And he checks. I'm checking. I'm just trying to, make a hand here, right? And the turn's a 10. Now he checks, and I bet 20 into 50. And he calls. I have a full house, 5s full of 10s. The river's another 10, so now I have 10s full of 5s. He checks, and I bet $125, just all my green, to make it, It's just sometimes what your bet looks like is a lot more important than the amount. Right, it's not like he bet 125 into $90 or whatever. It's no, he grabbed all his green and bet it real quick, which has a lot of bluffs in it, right? And this guy's been drinking and whatnot. So you just, sometimes you just grab all your greens and put them out there, right? And that was more important than, anyways, this guy goes to 875. So he just grabbed like all his whites and his greens and put them out there. And I had to go in the tank because, yes, he's primed, but he's primed to pay off or bluff off a little bit. He's not primed to bluff off $1,000. So this is a tough one, right? It's, does he have a five? That's obviously the only thing I lose to. It's possible, right? But I decide, no, I got to call. Like, maybe he's just not understanding the board. Maybe he's like thinking aces are like a good hand or whatever. I don't know. I just called and he had 10-6 offsuit. So this guy wasn't opening any hands and was playing extremely passive and conservative. You show him one bluff and he's a prideful dude and now he's opening 10-6 offsuit and we chopped. Okay. And now they're calling a bull for a game. And it's 10:14 p.m. on a Saturday night. And who is Abul? Abul is someone I've played with forever as well. And he was old, you know, 15 years ago at Ocean's 11. And it makes me feel good that they're calling him for a game. That means he's doing fine, right? And if you're under 40, this probably doesn't mean anything to you. And it didn't mean anything to me probably until I was about 45 years old. And then you start thinking about, or at least for me, that was my experience. Then you start thinking about your own mortality and whatnot. And it seeps into your thoughts a lot. It does for me. I have to CBT it. Like, no, I know I'm going to die. And that's fucking, it sucks because I do like living so much. And anyways, David was telling me about this one time. My friend, Dr. David Neymark, and about, I think he got sick or something in his 40s, and that was the first time, and it really set him back mentally. And I was like, what do you mean, man? I've always known I would die at some age. And I was just being a fucking idiot who didn't, you know, who wasn't listening well enough, because then maybe 2 years later I started to get this feeling, and it'll probably be with me, you know, for as long as I live, you know, and hopefully I can push it in the back and, you know, back of my head and use it to fuel me to live my life or whatever. But you do care about this shit, right? You, people pass away and you're like, what? That baseball player died? Like, I used to watch that dude and like, oh shit, you know? And anyways, it made me feel happy that they were calling Abul at 10:14 p.m. on a Saturday night for some fucking game. Mm-hmm. All right. Now it's my straddle and I have ace jack of spades. That's a good hand. And the Italian pro opens to $30. And the guy who's on tilt calls. And this is a tough one. This is definitely a hand you could 3-bet from the straddle. It's a better hand to 3-bet if you have a different image than I do. I have a crazy image. So it's going to get confusing if you do 3-bet here. I just called. And I'll say why after I tell you what the flop was. The flop was 10-7-4, and I checked, and the Italian pro bet, and you know the guy who was whose you know switch got flipped when I showed him 7-6 offsuit, he called. Whatever, I folded. So a couple things at play here. When you are the lag, which I guess I'm not even the lag anymore. I play tighter than most people in these full ring games, but I'm the most aggressive. When you're the crazy guy, I should say, you know, I don't play as many hands, but I put more money in per hand than anyone, right? And so when you just don't 3-bet sometimes because it's going to be too confusing if you get 4-bet, and it's going to be too confusing post-flop, and that's part of it. The other part is I have such an affinity for position, right? And obviously I'm out of position in an absolute sense. I'm the straddle, this guy open and this guy called behind. But if you just call, you're in position on the flop, you know, in a way, right? Because everyone checks to the razor, right? You just do. Poker hasn't really evolved past that. You check to the razor. I mean, sure, sometimes people don't, but in general, people check to the razor, right? So you are in position on the flop because I'm going to just check everything on the flop, right? And then he's going to act first, And then I'm going to get a read, you know, and then I'm going to get a read on the next guy, and then I'm going to make my decision. And it was 10-7-4, and he bet, and he seemed like he had something. The other guy seemed like he had something, so I folded, right? And so it's just tough. I think players that don't depend on reads as much, or they don't use them as much. They're not as perceptive. They're not fucking weirdo, sensitive fucking people like I am. Highly sensitive, right? To energy, to everything, right? And don't have the best vision, but just pick up on so much stuff, right? Well, then you need to be raising your better hands out of position just for value, right? But if you really do all your work in position, and I do, and I always have, I can lean towards flatting here in this spot. And I don't know, I just thought about it. I mean, not in the hand, I just, you know, you don't want to take too long, but afterwards I was like, I should be three betting this, like everyone else is three betting this, but I don't need to, because it is a little different when you're the aggro guy. And it's also, I just really depend on playing in position. And if you take initiative, you're out of position, right, on the flop. And yeah, I don't know. Does that make sense? Doesn't matter. It's okay. Another sip of coffee. That makes sense every single time. I get king nine of diamonds. And then we got a five-way bloater. And the Italian pro had opened and everyone called and I don't know. I must have been the straddle again. And I didn't, you know, three bet this hand either. And different situations with a different opener, like a weaker player opening. Yeah, I'm three betting a ton because I don't care if they have better hands. Even if they call, I can, you know, bluff with my good hands, that, if that makes sense. But with a strong type player, a player that's going to be shoving in with ace high on queen, queen nine. And strong means not. They don't fold much. It doesn't mean they're like wizards or anything. But I just called again. Yeah, five ways. And it came ace, deuce, eight, black. So I didn't flop anything. But it checked to him and he forceful bet. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He checked. And then the turn was a deuce. Everyone checked. And then it checked to him again. And he forceful bet. And I'm calling with king nine here on ace, deuce, eight, deuce. Because his line doesn't make any sense, right? If he bets small on the turn, I just have to fold. But he forceful bet, and so I'm just going to call with king nine and just get the showdown with king high. And he's wide enough pre for me to do this. Well, now the tilter called, and I folded, and they checked the river, and the tilter won with ace four offsuit. So my reads are good on good players, but they had also, when you're playing against good players or strong players, you just can't do as much pre-flop. You can't squeeze as much because they're going to fucking re-squeeze. And then you're going to end up folding good hands and it's a nightmare. So sometimes you just got to take a flop. And now this whale is in our game. And he immediately bad beats the guy on, you know, the athlete guy on my, no, I'm sorry, the guy on my right, some guy who was quiet, just for stacks, just a horrible, like, jammed it in there with, like, ace 8 on, like, 10, 9, 6 for all the money in, like, a 3-bet pot with the other guy had, like, kings or whatever, and he binked. And, yeah, that's sucks for the guy on my right, but it's good for the game when the whale, you know, the Ocean's 11 whale, right, when he just some guy that's not, he doesn't compare to, like, a Vegas whale or a Macau whale or a Commerce whale, but the Ocean's level, it's nice. He's got a bunch of chips now. And then people limp my straddle, and I squeeze with King Jack. And I go to, you know, $100. And this guy wearing some Lucky brand, a shirt or a hat, I can't even remember, calls, okay? And so it's just him and I. And it's it comes Ace Jack 10, okay? And I have King Jack. I just bet very, very small, right, just to deny, you know, little pocket pairs and whatever. And he called. And the turn's a four. And I checked. And he checked. And the river's a king. And I checked it, you know, hopefully get him to bluff. And he bet. And I called. And I had two pair. And he had a straight. Queen 10. And this was not the best play by me. I just read him as pocket pair heavy. Because that's what his line suggested. You know, over limping and then calling a 10x raise is usually or very often a pocket pair trying to flop a set. But he also tanked pre, so it was just bad. I just you know, didn't use all the variables. It's fine. He made a straight. I made two pair. I'm up stuck. And I wrote, King-King was the pinnacle play. That was my best play. I didn't call it that in this drop, but that in the moment I thought it was, where I cold four bet small and then just didn't put another penny on Queen-Deuce-Deuce because I knew he had queens. And then I thought the Jack's hand was cool too, just to, you know, just to get it in so good on Queen-Queen-9, you know, and get that double. Yeah, if an ace or king comes, I lose, but I don't know. I was playing very tag after this. This has been what's going on, is I just am folding so much more than, I don't know. I'm often the fucking lowest VPIP at the table these days. And so I tweeted out, I'm so tagged these days, everybody's it. And, you know, I was, you know, enjoying a cocktail and just being weird, right? But it does feel like, you know, a lot of people, many people that care about me and have always told me, like, you just need to tighten up, right? And I always say, no, you don't understand. Well, maybe I needed to tighten up a little bit, and I have. And that's not, you know, why I've been doing better. But it's part of it, right? I've been doing better because I've been running better. And I've been tightening up because I've been running better, and that's how that shit goes, and I don't know. But I do feel like it's a pretty big weapon for me now, is that I'm just not playing bad hands. I'm not like taking the worst of it pre all the time. And yeah. So the whale is a funny dude, right? And he drinks beers, and he was playing with the guy on my right who was very conservative and passive and now tilting. He was playing with him earlier and talking to him about some woman that won 5K and, you know, next to him, and he's calling, he says, yeah, your girlfriend. He's just saying stuff like that, right? He's just a whale in a casino being fun, being R-rated. And then he beats him in a pot. The whale beats the passive wreck who turned into a tilter when I showed 7-6 offsuit. Like, you can almost see, you know, the steam coming out of his ears or whatever. And he flips him off, right? Just as a joke across the table, like, aha, fuck you, buddy, right? But his finger is chopped off. The top knuckle is chopped off. And then the whale realizes, and then he says, or do you want this one? And he flips him off with the other hand, and the other hand has a full finger, right? And now this guy, who was very passive and very conservative, and then went on tilt, and now he's offended, right? And he asked for the floor, and I have to, you know, get in the middle and say, oh, he was just joking. And then I have to tell the whale, I'm like, oh, you're making him uncomfortable. He just wants to relax and play cards. I said, but you can flip me off of that nub anytime you want. And the whale is like, okay, good. And now we're good. We can keep playing. And I'm bleeding chips, even though I'm playing so tagged. That's the whale effect, because pots just get blown up, right? And that's how you win. Let's say you have really big sessions, and, you know, in a good game, it's just, you can bleed chips just playing good hands, right? And I go take a piss, and I come back, and there's an unlucky dealer in the box. And this is some crazy shit, right? Like, what? Unlucky dealer? What kind of fishy shit is that? I don't know. She's been unlucky forever. And, like, it doesn't make any sense, and it's not real, but it feels real, you know, as you're approaching midnight or whatever. And you just get this, like, she has this, like, weird energy. I don't know. So I'm going to play even tighter. And then I just fold for, like, a couple orbits. And then the cutoff, who is a corpse at this point. He's a poker corpse, because the whale stacked him with some shit hand. He opens the cutoff, and I haven't played a hand forever. And I have King 10 on the button. And I 3-bet. And it gets back to him, and he 4-bets. So I just ran into something huge, and I just folded. And then I opened ace-king to 30 is the next hand I played. And the guy wearing the lucky, he was a nice guy. He was wearing a lucky hat or lucky shirt, you know, lucky brand or whatever. And he called the button, and the straddler called. So we got 90 in there. I have ace-king. Comes king-jack-8, two-tone. I bet 50, and the guy wearing the lucky shit calls, and the other guy folds. So king-jack-8, I bet 50, he calls, good. Turn is an X. I bet 100. He calls. And river's a queen, not my favorite card. I bet 100 again, and he raises, and I fold. So I lost, what, like $300 in this hand. And I said, this lady's so nice, but she's such a black cat. And that is honestly another reason I'm not ready to climb stakes, is that I do get spooked sometimes at the table by variance, by certain people that are so lucky or unlucky. And I got to work through that. I've worked through a lot of stuff. I've worked through impatience, I think, pretty well. And I got to work through this being spooked by black cats. I don't know. So, yeah, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to play really big yet. I want to. That's the plan. I feel like it'll be next year. I think this year we'll just be working towards that. But just too busy, too stressed, and I got to work on this fucking fascination with variance and this PTSD shit. Like, I can't feel like this dealer is unlucky. You can't do that because it fucks with your head. And now it's time for my worst play. Okay, so someone opens a 20. The straddle's off on this one, and it's four ways, and I'm on the button with 10-9 of hearts. And I just call. And the flop comes ace 10-7, two diamonds, right? No heart, but there is a flush draw out there. Ace 10-7, and there's 80 in the pot, and they check to me, and I bet 35 on the button. And I almost, like, feel it as I do this, or before I do this, that the flip-off artist, the whale that has a nub flip fuck you finger, I know he's gonna bluff here. I already know it. And he like does some shit with his chips, and he goes to 235, ace 10-7, two diamonds and whatever else. I have 10-9 of hearts. There's no heart, and I fucking know he's bluffing. I knew he's gonna bluff when I chose this sizing, and maybe I should, I don't know. And I fucking fold, and he shows me queen 6 offsuit, and I don't know, it's not, you know, it's a 235 is a big, you know, kind of raise. And, but when you know, you know, and like, this is, I just got to go when I get these twinges at the table, when I know, I just got to go with it. Right. Occasionally I'll be wrong, but so what? It's going to feel so much better to just go with it. And then, you know, I don't know. This one felt gross. It's my worst play. Yeah. I mean, folded second pair, but no kicker, but I knew he was bluffing. I knew he was going to bluff before I bet. It's just one of those things. And I wasn't happy. And then I lost $220 with ace jack on 10-9-7 deuce. So you get the whale blowing up pots. You're in there with ace jack. It comes 10-9-7. You're going to call. It turns a deuce. He's going to bet a ton. You're going to fold. And I knew this dealer was unlucky. Mm-mm. I don't know. So I just wrote not ready. I got to work through this, you know, the new pro at the table binking all over the place, and that can't spook me. And you know, this dealer that's just has this like look on her face like she's a black cat. I don't know. I gotta work through that. It's embarrassing, it's real, and I don't know. But it also comes with playing way too many hours, like tens of thousands of hours for a living. Yeah. So now someone opens to 30 and there's two calls and that person seems weak, and I go to 160 with queen 10 offsuit and I win $100. So I'll take that. Yeah. And then I have another bad play and I have 9 deuce offsuit. And that's a, you know, that's the year I graduated high school, 92. So the whale limps and people limp, and I'm going to put $3 more in there in the small blind. The straddle's off in this hand. And it comes king 9-3, and he bets like $10. And someone calls, and I call, trying to spike, you know, two pair, hopefully, or trips. And the turn's a 9. And so I did turn trips, and I check. He bets 20 now, and some guy calls. It's king 9-3 rainbow, and he bets 20, and the guy calls. I make it 120, and the whale calls. The guy who will flip you off, if you want a full finger, he'll do that. He's a very, like, considerate flip-off artist. If you want a full fuck you finger, he's got one of those. I think his left hand. If you want one that's missing the top knuckle, he's got that for you too. Well, anyways, he calls the 120. Great. I know he has a king. The other guy folds, and the river's a brick, and I bet $350. It's too much. I should bet $240. I should bet twice what I bet on the turn, raise two on the turn. I bet $350. I was misapplying something myself. There are whales, you know, at bigger casinos where you can just bet whatever you want on the river and they're calling with top pair. This is Ocean's 11 whale. Like, this guy plays all the time. He's not like totally clueless, and he folded a king. This guy's owned me in a couple hands in a row, right? And I don't know. And then we got a multi-way bloater, and I have a flush draw in position, and I river top pair bluff catcher, and I call the whale, and he has the nuts. This guy's fucking me up, and he's not even flipping me off, which I wish he would, but I'm a little bit rattled. And the next note is the Italian is Aussie. So the Italian pro is actually an Australian pro. Okay. And he was a pretty nice guy. And now there's a new dealer in, and I straddle. And I have pocket fours, black fours, six-way bloater, and the flop comes king, 10, 9, all hearts. And unfortunately, the flip-off artist overflushed the poker lover, who's, you know, she's been, you know, working out the chip runner a little bit. And you just hate to see it. She probably has plenty of money from a good job or whatever, but flush over flush on the flop is pretty gross. And yeah, now I get pocket kings again. I promised you I'd get pocket kings again. And I'm the small blind, and the whale limps. And now the poker lover goes to 15, which is pretty weak, over a limp. And now the guy, the tilted guy who feels disrespected now and called for floor, he goes to 90, but he's kind of back in his regular mode, right? I settled things down. I told the flip-off artist to only flip me off and to stop flipping him off. And he's back to his normal way of playing, right? So you just have to know this when people, the switch is off now. The tilt switch was on for a while. It's off. He goes to 90 here. This isn't someone who 3-bets a lot, right? And so he goes to 90. This is a good hand. It's a worse hand than when he went to 80 because 80 was really strong. This is a good hand, and I have kings in the small blind. And I go to 225 in the small blind, right? And it folds back to him, and he calls, okay? And the flop comes ace-jack-4. I have kings. And it's two-tone. I check, and he bets $400. And if I had one guess, he has pocket jacks all day long on this flop. All day. So I'm pretty sure I 4-bet this guy twice with kings, and he called twice with smaller pocket pairs and flopped a set both times. And I didn't put a dollar in either time. But yeah, silent sound guy, we got to work on pocket kings. After this drop, I'll just deal us both kings and put some cards out there, and we'll figure out a way for one of us to win. But yeah, okay. And then I open 10-8 offsuit in the cutoff just because there's a whale in the blinds, and I get three calls, and comes 10-7 deuce, all clubs, so that's cool. I got a, you know, top pair, but it is monotone flop, and I got the lucky hat or shirt leads, and I call, and the whale calls. I got top pair, we'll, you know, reevaluate. The turn's a brick. Now the whale leads, and I got the lucky shit raises, and I fold. And I don't know, I don't remember what they had, but it's going the opposite way. This is what's happened a lot recently. And this is a good problem to have, where you win a good amount right at the beginning of a session, and then you know, bleed it off, or yeah, whatever you do. You run into sets and whatnot. So the very next hand, I got 10-8 of diamonds, right? And I opened that too, which if you just lost with 10-8, you're and you get 10-8 again, I think you... The tendency is to be a little more gun shy. Well, no, I opened it, and only the lucky guy called, right? And you know, he defended from the big blind, and the door card was a 7 of diamonds. Let's go, right? Like, it's time to flop something. Well, then it came 7-7-3, 2 spades and a diamond, and he checked, and I bet 20, and he called, and the turn's an ace of spades, and he checked, and I bet 50, and he folded. And why is this good in a really tough game? If I want to rep the ace, I'm going to check back the turn and bet the river. It's going to work. They're going to say, oh, he turned an ace, right? In a game like this, no, you just bet it right now, right? And then, yeah, so I don't know. I want a pot with nothing, and that feels good always. And God, the whale is in fuego. He flopped another flush, and he's just crushing. And I open a queen 10, and the whale calls, and the Australian pro 3-bets. And so this is another thing I was doing. I was defending versus 3-bets way too much before. I just fold. You know, I think this guy's got me dominated. I don't think he's doing this super wide. Anyways, the whale folded too, and then the pro's cards got exposed. He had king queen, so I was dominated. And then I play another multi-way bloater, and I whiff, and I'm evenish in the session. And so I was up $1,000 or more right away, and now I'm even, and that's okay. That happens. Part two tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. That's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know. We're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm going to need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Because otherwise...